Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you like cows, Harry?
Yes. Yes.
That's
for
good.
The most part, they taste nice.
Mm. Steak is my favourite part of them, normally.
I have been menacingly followed by a herd of cows numerous times when walking through fields back home.
I've walked through many a cow field in my time. They're very inquisitive creatures. I feel very bad for eating them, but unfortunately they're made of steak. And so I quite enjoy
eating.
They're
made of delicious meat and beef burgers. So,
however, in Ireland, this has been proposed, a massive, I suppose, what you can call cow genocide. And here we have an article from The Telegraph, because this was widely picked up on. Irish farmers revolt over plan for cattle cull to meet green target. And it says, the Irish government wants to reduce emissions from farming by a quarter by 2030. Media reports last week suggested that one option being considered was to reduce the national dairy herd by 10%, meaning a cull of 65,000 cows a year for 3 years at a cost of €200 million, which is £170 million annually. So they're going to spend, potentially, if they go through with it, a lot of money to kill a lot of cows to meet an arbitrary target.
It's absolutely ridiculous, because this will... One, it's a waste of the livestock.
Yes.
And two, it will presumably ruin the farmers who have to cull that herd.
Yeah, for no fault of their own as well. And I mean, Ireland locked down just like we did. I imagine it probably didn't help them very much. And I imagine the cost of things like feed for cattle is already pretty high because of... you know, grains and stuff being higher than normal relative to how much you can make from a cow. So they're potentially even running at a loss as is, and they're just trying to recoup some of their money.
I'm becoming more and more certain day by day that to get a job in government, you have to display that you've had a brain aneurysm at some point in your life. Because honestly, that's the quality of decision making that we're seeing in the upper echelons of society.
Because I ran the numbers. It wasn't very difficult. So that would be a $600 million budget to kill 195,000 cows over 3 years, which is the full plan if you break it down rather than annually, which is even worse. So that's... over half a billion euros kill cows.
From the government's perspective, it's either that or they put strange masks on them, like weird gas masks on them to prevent them from belching and farting, because it's all about the methane,
isn't it,
that they excrete.
Mm-hmm. But we will be getting onto that, because I think some people have been eating cow pats or something, because they've clearly not got enough nourishment going to their brain. And... The article carries on saying, the Irish government says that no final policy decision has been taken, but this is quite often what happens is a government will float a policy and see the public reaction. And if it's kind of lukewarm or not that bothered, then they tend to then go on with it. The UK government does this quite a lot. You hear of a policy being proposed, and then a couple of months later, it'll come up as, okay, we're going to do this thing. So that's... seemingly just a tactic in politics that they use. They propose something that they want to do, and then they will walk it back if there's too much pushback.
What it's the equivalent of is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy at the beginning, when Arthur comes out of his house and finds they're about to knock it down. And they go, well, you know, the planning has been on display in the basement of an office building 5 miles from here for months. Why wouldn't you know about it? And then, of course, the aliens come along and destroy the planet and say, well, the planning has been in the basement of an office on a planet far away from here for months. Why haven't you looked into this? The government comes out and they says, well, they announce in the most subtle and quiet manner possible that we're going to do this. And unless there is actual pitchforks and torches outside their offices by the end of that week, mm-hmm. well, then I guess the public's just in favour of it.
And there's one thing we know farmers have is pitchforks. So
yes.
Hopefully we're going to see some of that if this does carry on. But it goes on to say about the farmers themselves, some farmers fear it will not be possible to meet the targets with only a voluntary cull. Tim Cullinan, president of the Irish Farmers Association, warned that beef and dairy production would simply shift to other countries if a limit was introduced in Ireland, undermining the attempted emission saving. Which is true, that if you make it too expensive to farm domestically, which is shooting yourself in the foot, both from a sort of defence perspective. I mean, part of the reason the British Empire broke up is because we had to rely on the Americans to send us food, World War One and Two, and so they had leverage over us, and they basically beat us down from our top position in the world to our sorry state now.
Yes.
So if you allow other countries to leverage your country by outsourcing your food production, they will destroy you.
Sadly,
even your allies.
Free trade is a great idea until you take into account the possibility of war or hostile nations from across the globe.
Yeah, it can, if you're in a time of peace, give you a good sort of short-term economic boost to kind of free up. But also, I think there's a very strong argument to say that things like energy, water, and agriculture, you want to be done domestically because they're all part of national security. If you don't have control of these things, there's no use having an army to defend your shores if everyone's going to starve or die of thirst or lots of other things. It's very difficult in Britain to die of thirst because water literally falls from the sky all the time. But still, the principle still stands.
And to be fair, this pointing this out is actually one of the tricks that the governments around the UK and in the West have been pulling for a while to be able to reduce their own emissions. Destroy your native industry, destroy your domestic industries so that they can be outsourced elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And then on a spreadsheet, that means that we have lower emissions, which is a good thing, despite the fact the emissions might be worse elsewhere. So that's mm-hmm. why, for instance, you know, I forget what the exact figure is, but it's something like a third of all emissions of CO2 in the world are in China.
Well,
and that's because...
Yeah, sorry.
For one thing, we've just outsourced all manufacturing production of all the cheap tat that we buy mm-hmm. over there.
So if you viewed the sort of world's agriculture from a global level, I know, hold back your aversion. I'm not going to say something globalistic. it would be, if you're trying to reduce carbon worldwide, which is what they're doing, I think it's a bit of a fool's errand, but
Wasn't there a volcanic eruption that happened recently which released more CO2 into the atmosphere than humans ever have? Or was I misreading something?
But I do know that volcanoes actually cause global cooling. If they release ash into the atmosphere, it reflects more sunlight.
That's true.
But no, what I was saying was that Western agriculture is probably more efficient and therefore better for the environment, because the more efficient you are, the less wastage you have, obviously by definition, and the better your resources are allocated. So having the most technology, having the most efficient farming methods in the Western world is much, much better if you care about that sort of thing. Because, of course, if you go and get your food from the third world, sure, it's going to be cheaper. You're not going to have the carbon emissions on your books, and you're going to be able to import the food. But I mean, if you're looking at it from that environmentalist perspective, which I'm not, but many people do, then you're shooting yourself in the foot, even by your own standards. It doesn't even make sense from their own worldview, let alone ours, whereby this is just a needless act of barbarity and very punitive, and also weakening your own national defence. I mean, it's incompetence to the level where you think that perhaps it's malice. And I think that I haven't really made up my mind on that, because there has been a sort of attack on farmers, haven't there?
You only have to watch Clarkson's Farm. I know it's something I refer to a lot, but it is quite eye-opening, even if it is just a funny show where Jeremy Clarkson tries and fails to make a successful farm. He's failing, not because he's not trying, but because of all of the red tape and barriers put in his way to stop him from succeeding. And that's something that's being done deliberately by local councils. Mm-hmm. And it's not just something that's affecting him. It's something that you see affects all of the other local farmers that produce food, dairy, mm-hmm. and lots of other very useful things to be able to produce domestically. It's affecting all of them as well.
Yeah. And I think there's also the fact that it's happening all at the sort of same time, in that things became very difficult for British farmers, as well as obviously the Dutch farmers with their protests. I think there's stuff in Belgium going on, and now Ireland. So a lot of Europe, at least. And of course, there were the cases of all of the sort of food storages in the United States burning down. But of course, as I think Carl and Callum covered, those are quite flammable anyway, because of the nature of what they're storing. So that could just be explained by, you know, accidents happening. It's possible.
Either way,
right?
Europe has decided that cyanide seems like a nice treat.
Yeah. I mean, the way the economy is going, I might voluntarily just consume it. Why not?
Why not, yeah.
So it carries on to say, this is quoting someone directly, reports like this only serve to further fuel the view that the government is working behind the scenes to undermine our dairy and livestock sectors. Well, I can't blame you for thinking that. While there are, may well be some farmers who wish to exit the sector, we should all be focusing on providing a pathway for the next generation to get into farming. I mean, of course, yes, I agree. Pat McCormack, president of the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, said it was frustrating that the industry was being targeted. I think that's putting it quite politely, yes, to be honest. We're the one industry with a significant roadmap, and to be quite honest with you, our herd isn't larger than it was 25 to 30 years ago, he said. Can the same be said for the transport industry? Can the same be said for the aviation industry? Which is a good point. I mean, why is this specific industry being targeted when other industries have expanded more so and are perhaps just as polluting? I haven't actually looked at the numbers, because I think that the whole thing is kind of a bit silly, really. In the Western world, our emissions, even if they are important, are so minuscule in a global scale that the measures we're taking to mitigate them, even if you're buying into the framework of enacting it, don't make sense, in my opinion.
Personally, I think, from what I've looked into and from what I've seen, it appears to me to be a mixture of, one, rank incompetence. Mm-hmm. The obsession with net zero, yep, seems to just be a point that our elites, our ruling class, can't get off of because they're obsessed with it.
It makes them look good. And also,
well, they think it makes them look good, but I think it makes them look terrible. It makes them look like callous, petty technocrats.
Me and Connor were actually talking about this before recording, that the money in the green sector now is massive. Like, you get a job in that area after being an MP, and you can be on, as Connor was saying, £300,000 maybe. And so you do a bit of virtue signaling while you're in office, and you get a nice cushy job for the rest of your life, a really good lucrative career. You will be a multimillionaire if you do this. So there's a great incentive for politicians.
Financial incentive now, but still, I would say that there needed to be government intervention to get us to the point where the green industry could be so profitable in the first place.
Yes, because it's not exactly particularly competitive on a free market sort of basis, is it? It's not as cheap.
The green products aren't as efficient. They aren't. They tend to not be very sustainable in themselves. Ironically speaking, they tend to create a lot of waste that people don't like, or to ruin the landscape in a way that people don't like. For instance, you can just look at the effects of wind farms on landscapes across England, where you've got the lovely rolling green hills, and oh dear, I've got a wind farm, loads of wind, just a big wind farm destroying the beauty of the landscape. So there are lots of different aspects of that. But also, I do think that elements of the attack on the farming industry do seem to me to be callous and intentional. For instance, there's not just this going on. There's, in the UK, in England itself, there is the desire to take farming away from the native population, from the people who've been doing it for generations, who might pass it down to their own children and give it to foreigners. They always say that it's inequitable that there aren't as many, you know, black and brown farmers as they think there should be, which to me, and I don't mean to sound insensitive in this way, but it's a terrible idea, because all we need to do is look at Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, to see how well things go when you replace a European stock of farmers with a African, North African, wherever you want to go from, mm-hmm. stock of farmers. Things tend to not work out as well.
Yeah, well, they're entirely different farming practices. I mean, we've lived amongst technology for so long now that, yeah, we're leagues above in efficiency. But the final line I wanted to read from this article was, if there was to be a cull, he said, it needs to be a voluntary scheme. That's absolutely critical. And I think that's, I mean, quite charitable, really.
Yeah, I don't even think there needs to be a voluntary scheme. I mean, if farmers just wanted to go out and cull all of their cows, they already mm-hmm. would be doing so.
I mean, it would be a bit strange for the government to compensate them for doing so, because you would imagine that if they killed a cow, they'd also be making money from it. So, I mean, on that, it's almost going too far the other way, whereby the government's then subsidising farmers. I mean, it makes sense to a certain extent because they've been screwed over so much, but I don't necessarily agree with that in a sort of isolated instance.
I mean, I imagine a lot of cows would be, you know, eventually taken to the slaughterhouse anyway.
Mm-hmm. Not the dairy ones, usually.
Not the dairy ones, but perhaps...
Not for a long time, anyway.
Yeah. But this way just means that if there was anything good to be taken up from it, like being able to have a surplus of meat, mm-hmm. they probably wouldn't use that anyway, would they?
Well, there's also the idea that if you kill 200,000 cows, are you going to be able to...
replenish that stock?
Well, yes. And also, you're probably going to have to export all of that in, because you're not... it's going to exceed demand, basically. And so you're going to then eventually have a shortfall in the future of not very much meat, which ties in quite nicely, almost by 2030, one might say. But talking of dead cows who emit a lot of hot air, Simone de Beauvoir and here's Connor's evil origins of feminism. But of course, she didn't come up with feminism. It's more of the modern iteration of feminism. And he talks about that. So make sure to check that out. So... there's also been talk of, here, The Telegraph again, Ireland's muted cow massacre is a warning to net zero Britain. And of course, this is all part of that net zero stuff, isn't it, that seems to be going on. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this in the Western world, where people are just suggesting insane things like,
I mean,
genocide.
There are so many different agendas that this ties into. As I've mentioned already, it ties into the net zero agenda. It ties into the agenda to just marginalize the native populations of the West. And if you want to look more into that, you can watch the video that I did on the European Union's Becoming a Minority program that they're actually doing. They want you to be a minority in your own country. It ties into the meat-free agenda, where they're trying to create, you know, corn products, fake meat products to get people to eat instead of having to rely on domestic farming. It's all terrible, and it all ties into it each other.
Yes, absolutely. So Jamie Blackett here at The Telegraph points out that it's very fortunate we're out of the EU, or we could be facing the same pressure from Brussels. So he also mentions that Rishi Sunak represents a very rural constituency in the Yorkshire Dales. And so it might look quite bad if we start targeting farmers, because our Prime Minister probably represents many of them. And if his own constituency starts turning against him, well, that's terrible for him. Also, and so there's a sort of good optic reason for them not to do it here, perhaps.
Only half jokingly as well, would Rishi Sunak not have...
Rashid Sunak, yeah.
Would Rishi Sunak not have religious problems with culling cows as well?
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. He's a Hindu, so he definitely won't kill cows. It's against his religion if he... you know, still practices. I don't know.
I mean, I believe that he did when he was sworn in as Prime Minister. I believe he had some kind of Hindu ceremony as part of it.
Well, I suppose you can still do that if you don't necessarily believe. It's kind of just your cultural background, isn't it?
Bit of a LARP, though, isn't it, if you do that?
I mean, I still celebrate Christmas, right? I don't describe myself as...
Yeah, but you just want presents. You want presents and turkey.
Yeah, I prefer other meats than turkey, to be honest. And
yeah,
also,
but if someone presents you a big, nice roast turkey dinner, you're not going to say no, are you?
I've got to the age now where I actually enjoy watching other people open the presents I've got them more than I enjoy getting them myself.
Oh,
partly because I get bought loads of socks. So.
How sentimental. The socks are useful, though.
They are. I never
As
buy
a
socks.
Child, I hated them. But now,
it's
like the best present.
Mm-hmm. I always need them, so it's very useful. But anyway, Elon Musk as well weighed in, as well as the British press, and he, of course, criticised it. And if we move on to his tweet, here he is. "This really needs to stop. Killing some cows doesn't matter for climate change." And lots of the outlets that reported on Elon Musk talking about this, because that's a story in and of itself whenever Elon has an opinion, referred to this tweet as well. This next one: "I'm super pro climate, but we definitely don't need to put farmers out of work to solve climate change. Not at all." I mean,
that's a pretty sensible take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in favour of taking care of the earth. I think part of being a conservative is conserving the beauty of nature. I mean, what can you be conserving if it's not that, amongst many other things? So yes, I'm sympathetic, but perhaps not on the sort of eco
I'm sure
death
that
cult
his,
level.
His idea of super pro climate would be different to ours, but still telling people, hey, maybe we don't need to put farmers out of business.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yes, and here we've got some Irish politicians. "Cattle coal will lead to food shortages," says Matty McGrath, who is in the Irish equivalent of Parliament in the lower house. I think he's the equivalent of a member of the House of Commons.
We would try and pronounce it, but we don't want to.
I did practice before this, but I feel like I'm probably going to fail. And I did try and learn. That's the main thing. I'm not going to insult you by getting it wrong.
You gave it an honest try.
Mm-hmm. I also, whenever I try and speak anything in Irish, I just sound Scottish because of my half my family being Scottish. So it sounds silly as well. But yes, another elected politician as well. I think these are both independents as well. So well done, Ireland's independents. It says, "Ireland has shot off every toe off our feet with carbon policies." And I think that that's a fair assessment. So it does seem like in Ireland, you do have politicians that are speaking out against this, which is good. I mean, it's not like in Britain where the government will do something absolutely insane and you think, well, maybe people are going to push back on this. You know, it's free, easy political point scoring here. But no, they're just like, oh, this is great. Maybe we should even go further. It's, oh, for goodness sake. But yes, I think one thing you can credit Ireland for is that when they get annoyed about something, they let you know about it, right? In politics. I know that's coming from an Englishman, but yes. Moving on to the next one here. And they responded saying, it's not a final policy, which is...
we might go for 300,000 instead.
Yeah. So this is what always happens when a policy kind of gets proposed and they kind of sound it out. And then if there is pushback, as there has been, they're like, oh, it's not the final policy. Maybe we'll just roll it back a little bit. And they can also, of course, introduce something that's really not realistic and then do a softer version of it. And people will feel like, well, we compromised.
It'll turn into 100,000 or... they'll wait for the controversy to subside and then do it anyway.
Exactly that, yes. So I wanted to have
any Irish farmers who may be watching this, I think the best thing to do if they do try and go ahead with this policy is to just not do it.
Yes.
I don't know what consequences that
might
bring.
Whoa, controversial.
I don't know what consequences that might bring upon you, but that's the only thing that I can see actually working and go ahead with this. Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the assessment of cows causing all of this pollution. I came across this CBC, of course, I think that's Canadian, right? They're talking about, do cows produce more methane than rotting grass? And this is from 2019. So it's a little bit before all of this current madness, I suppose. Mm. And it said, we went to Christine Bayes, Associate Professor in Department of Animal Bioscience at the University of Guelph. I don't know quite what that university is and how to pronounce it, but a university. She said, it's important to note that methane is not released by the cows themselves, but the bacteria in their gut. Similar bacteria also exist in the environment and produce methane in wetlands, rice fields, and landfills. The actual amount of methane released from a single blade of grass wouldn't change if it was just left to decompose or if it was eaten by a cow and then digested by the bacteria in their gut. The only difference is that the methane would be released more quickly by a cow or other ruminants, animals that acquire nutrients from plant-based foods, I mean, yes, most people know what a ruminant is. I don't know why they felt the need to define it. But it says, the amount of methane that different bacteria release, whether it's a cow's gut or in the field, is still unknown at this point, but is an area of ongoing research. So despite the fact that they've got two juxtaposing things right next to each other, this is interesting because they're saying, yeah, the release of methane comes from the grass itself. It's not the cow. I mean, the cow eats the grass, but the grass would do that anyway, according to this lady.
So Ireland isn't even really solving the problem that it thinks it is anyway.
Well, yes. The thing is that carbon emissions, even if you're looking at it from the eco framework, which I reject, there is a natural carbon cycle that exists already. And it's also worth mentioning as well, there used to be a lot more animals in the British Isles before human beings became so widespread. So I think actually it equates about equal levels of, you know, grazing animals in domestic farming that would have been here ordinarily. So all we've done is just replace the things that we've hunted either to extinction or have become more rare. So it's not even like the amount of living things in the Isles has changed. It's just some sort of ridiculous, arbitrary notion that, oh, we're going to reduce carbon by just killing animals. I mean, why not just extend it even further? Why not just start killing people?
I mean, if you need any indication that the people in charge of the West right now are just incompetent yet evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just them deciding all of a sudden, well, why don't we just murder all the cows for no reason?
It's just petty tyranny, isn't it? If anything, it's getting beyond petty, isn't it?
I think it's malicious.
Yeah, and it can be malicious as well, because let's not beat around the bush here. Farmers tend to be more right-wing than you know, city dwellers. And city dwellers resent that because they can't get their tiny little insect city-dwelling mind around the fact that, yeah, people disagree with them and have good reason to do so because they can't think out of outside of their own life and in their own little weird
hive mind. A farmer will be rooted to the land. In all likelihood, he will have inherited the farm for generations. That farm will have been passed down through his line. And that will create an attitude. Also, the sorts of communities that farmers tend to live in are much more local, much more provincial. Everybody knows each other. Everybody
rural
will rely
areas
on
are
the
just
farmer.
Better.
They are much nicer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think there is just an aspect of the city dweller, as you say. It's not even just that they can't wrap their mind around it. It's they are actively disdainful of that kind of lifestyle.
They look down upon them as like simpletons and uncivilized and stuff like that, when actually it's the other way around, that if you live in a city, you're probably some sort of inhuman barbarian. That I live in a city, by the way, so I am a massive hypocrite, but not willingly. I mean, I have to live here to work, but I don't want to, which is part of the reason I'm so angry about it.
The end of this video is going to come across like such a cry for help.
Yeah, please help me.
Send chocolate. Or steak.
Yeah, send steak. But the main point here is that, yes, of course, lots of stupid things are being done in the name of the climate that shouldn't be. And I wanted to draw attention to this because it is absolutely insane. It's just flat out animal genocide. And I'm not being hyperbolic. That is what it is. And it definitely shouldn't happen. And hopefully the Irish have it in them to reject this, which I think they probably will. But nevertheless, the fact that this was even suggested in the first place is a worrying sign of our future to come.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the premium videos we do, this one on why liberalism is a universal asset. If you'd like to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino. America's best. the social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.